Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is the one and the only, the producer, the one with all the incredible music transitions that we are so enjoying, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And our friend and our buddy, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, Chris. My goodness. How are you doing, fellas?
Doing good.
Doing good, man. How you doing?
What? No Mets? No Giants?
No Mets today. No Mets today, but I'll tell you what. I'm just feeling so good this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever time that you're listening to VFN Radio. I just feel good. You know what? God is just so, so good. He is so worthy. I am so unworthy. And I just bask in the fact that he is just so, so good.
Amen.
And my goodness, that he is on the throne this morning. I do want to give some shout outs and welcome our new VFN radio listeners. We do every single day. But Gina and Emma and Terrence and Carol and James and Juna and Charles and Chip and Freddie and Robert, Ivan, Dean, welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. Do want to give some shout outs out there to Texas. My goodness, it was wonderful being with you guys last night via our internet connection and just being able to connect. It was wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, cool.
And just great, great encouragement. I want to give a shout out there to Colorado, Pastor Brett and Sharon. He sent me a text not too long ago that he was shoveling twice.
Oh, my goodness.
This was last week. I wonder how that snow is holding up in Colorado. There's some major snowstorms coming all across, I think, the Midwest, and they've already landed, and they're coming to the Northeast. But I believe that Washington is going to be shut down. That's what I heard. I thought they were already shut down, but it seems that they're going to be the weather's going to shut them down. But in some God's news behind the news this morning, we do want to share that Venezuela's president Hugo Chavez passed away yesterday at the age of 58.
Oh, wow.
He was battling cancer and for the last 2 years, and he's no longer here.
Wow.
And there's great, there's concern about the transition and what's going to happen. I mean, if you remember Hugo Chavez, basically he, considered the United States enemies,
mm-hmm.
called us enemies. He's the same gentleman who, and I use that word lightly, who came to the United Nations, and at the United Nations, which is in America, the United States of America, called our then president, George Bush, the devil.
Mm.
I mean, that was such a remark that even I remember Charles Rangel, a congressman from New York, said, "Hey, listen, no matter, he's a Democrat, no matter what our political beliefs are, here in America, we are still Americans, and we still, you just can't come here and talk about our president that way. That's just,
wow.
Just uncalled for, not necessary."
Mm-hmm.
He is also same leader who basically joined forces with Iran and Cuba. I mean, he was very good friends with Fidel Castro. In fact, received a lot of his medical treatment in Cuba, not in his own country, interesting, but would fly out to Cuba and get some treatments.
Right.
But he was a socialist. He was a socialist. And although he was elected president, it was a socialistic form of government. And why, there's concern right now after his passing is because they have a very, very large oil reserve in Venezuela. I mean, they are a major big player. In fact, they own Citgo,
right.
Company Citgo. And they're I mean, I think it's in everyone's best interest that they look for a smooth transition of power. And there's a gentleman by the name of Maduro, a 50-year-old former bus driver and union leader. Mm. And he's kind of taking over. And allegedly within the next 30 days, they're either going to have the elections or announce elections. No one's really quite sure what's going to happen. But you're looking at, you know, the death of a leader that basically had a form of government, instituted a form of government in Venezuela where there's thousands upon thousands and I'm sure millions of people that are mourning his loss. And the poor in that country really, really, truly loved him. And that's because he provided a ton of benefits and resources to the poor. And you're looking at a form of government that you're seeing it. You're right. Seeing it, that people will adore you. People will love you because you provide them with resources. You provide them with, you know, food and everything else that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. That's not good. That's not good. You know, we need to help have people that are dependent not on government, but not dependent on a particular leader, but that they're dependent on God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the countries around the world like North Korea. They are starving in North Korea. Yet they're putting up missiles and threatening all the stuff. It's like, how about the people? You look at places like Cuba. I mean, they're still driving 1950 cars in Cuba.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's like way back, way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but poverty increased along with his oppression.
Mm-hmm.
That was his oppression. So it's not like, you know, these resources that they were given out was all great and it made everything wonderful and everything better. No,
mm-hmm.
The poverty increased. And the only reason they were able to do that was because of the oil. But if they didn't have that natural resources, most people would be still in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know, I'm believing, and I know many people are believing, this is going to be an amazing opportunity for the gospel to go forth in Venezuela, because now the people can get their eyes off of a man and hopefully get their eyes off of a form of government for their survival,
mm-hmm.
for their needs to be met, and they can really begin to turn to the Lord. And if we're not careful, I mean, we have people in this country. I mean, you would think that, you know, they would like a socialistic form of government.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we have a government. We have an economy that's based on free markets.
Mm-hmm.
And the state does not need to take over, right? Anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are not too big to fail. We could just let them fail.
All right.
You know, and it's astonishing. It's astonishing when you think about that. You can have stuff and you can have money, but at the very end, I mean, once you spend it all, once it's all gone,
mm-hmm.
It's gone. Socialism and communism places government in the place of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It really does. It places government in the place of God, and it's not good. It's not good. And really, we can turn back and look at SOS. Remember SOS?
Oh, yeah.
Samuel or Saul. I mean, we can choose God's form of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we can choose a worldly government, and this is what is available right now to the United States.
Yep.
And I encourage you to go to the torch, vfntv.com, and select the torch, and listen to SOS, the Tale of Two Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Samuel or Saul. But let me tell you, you want God's form of government. You want God's form of government.
That's right.
Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work when we make a people dependent on stuff. I mean, look what Hitler did in Germany. I talked about this before, but there's a book called Hitler's Benefactors. And and Hitler's benefactors, the people were satisfied. They were willing to close their eyes to 6 million Jews being exterminated because they were getting stuff.
Yeah.
They were getting stuff. He was raiding their homes and bringing in, you know, all kinds of furniture, all kinds of stuff. He said, here you go. Thanks to Hitler. Thanks to, you know, to the Nazis. And and they said, okay, thank you. Whatever you say, we say.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you say, we say. And I misspoke. I said that the SOS was on the torch. It's actually on VFNTV.com, VFNTV. And make sure that you go to VFNTV.com and have your access to it, because it's really going to bless you. And we really need that on the inside of us. We need that revelation because, you know, America really stands at a crossroads. It stands at a significant, significant crossroads. Well, also, in God's News Behind the News, as you know, right now we have cardinals that are at the Vatican, and they are actually set to vote for the next pope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is in 600 years. In 600 years, we've never have seen a pope. 600 years since the last time a pope actually stepped down and resigned. And so they're actually gathering together, and I believe 115 of them, cardinals, and they're looking right now to see and casting their votes to see who's going to be the next pope. But why don't you listen to this segment and see what's happening.
Amazing. Well, in other news, Roman Catholic cardinals from around the world have gathered at the Vatican. They're meeting to choose the successor to Pope Benedict, who resigned last week. John Waggy has that story.
The cardinals began arriving for the first meetings ahead of the papal conclave just hours after Pope Benedict became the first pontiff in 600 years to resign rather than die in office. The finality is reflected in the Pope's Twitter page, where Benedict's picture has been removed and his tweets deleted. Monday's meeting opened with prayer, and each cardinal took an oath of secrecy, pledging to keep quiet about matters related to the election of the next pope. But outside, an international media horde follows the cardinals, giving it some of the trappings of a political campaign. Campaigning on the part of those considered to be frontrunners is strictly forbidden, and the 115 cardinals who will choose the new pope know the nature of their task.
And this is a spiritual act in which we are supposed to, or we are obliged to, elect the new pope.
La Iglesia está dispuesta para cualquier papa.
Spanish Cardinal Carlos Amigo Vallejo says, in the church, you don't have nationalities, you don't have colors or parties. Any bishop, a baptized Christian, will be perfectly accepted in the church. 11 American cardinals make up the second largest group of all the nations, and most will be casting their first papal ballot.
I would be looking for someone who has that vision and that energy to say, this is what I want to do with this pontificate.
Like a pastor in a parish, you know, when you have somebody who basically connects with people.
The date for electing a pope wasn't determined Monday because a handful of cardinals have yet to arrive. Meanwhile, a tailor's shop in Rome is displaying the white vestments ready for the new pope to wear when he is chosen. John Waggy, CBN News.
Wow. Well, if you remember, we talked about as soon as the Pope Benedict resigned, we shared on VFN Radio, and you can go back and listen to this highlight. It's called Pope Suddenly Resigns. Is this the fulfillment of prophecy? Mm-hmm. And we shared about a alleged prophetic word that was given many years ago by Saint Malachy, according to some sources, and I think we cite them, and Wikipedia actually has a whole long listing of this. But basically, in this prophecy, he received 112 short phrases in Latin that would describe each one of the popes, beginning from Pope Celestine II, and it's to conclude with Pope Benedict's successor, and this the pope now that they're getting ready to elect. And basically, what the prophecy says is that this pope will actually see Rome totally destroyed.
Right.
He was Rome totally destroyed and see it all the way into the end times. And there's so many things right now that are converging. There's so many things that are coming all together. So it's so important to pay attention, to pray, to be vigilant and to be on the front lines of what God is doing. I mean, you look at this, you can't see events that are happening and just blow them off. You know, God wants to give us insight. He wants us to be prayerful, and he doesn't want, you know, the things that are happening to just basically influence us. But by prayer, by prayer and seeking God for wisdom and counsel, we can actually have an impact on the events that are happening in the world today. And so we definitely want to pray about the things that are to come and the things that are about to happen. Mm. But remember this. Remember this also. And I believe this is also on the torch. The day that Pope Benedict resigned, there was a picture, a caption that a lightning bolt is actually hitting St. Basilica. I mean, just came down. And it's just like, okay, God, okay. Mm-hmm. What meanest thou this, right?
Yeah, right.
But let's stay vigilant. Let's stay on the front lines. Let's continue to pray and be alert. We'll be right back.
I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He says when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's you don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. Mm-hmm. And the church has kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around Jerusalem, and it's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason, they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. Mm-hmm. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king and they said, oh my goodness. And they say, I know. And they receive him. And then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart. And now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope. And understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled. Right. You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org. and request it. Immediately it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. There's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church. And that I need to go be the church, and that the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you're just catching us right now on VFN Radio, we were just talking about Chavez. Hugo Chavez has passed away, dead at 58. He was the leader and president of Venezuela. And, you know, this was a leader that oppressed his people. This was a leader who had ties and was allied with Iran and Cuba and considered America his enemies, came to the UN and said that our president at the time, George Bush, was the devil.
Right.
Okay. And it's like, really interesting. And now he is dead, died of cancer. I tell you, you know, the Bible's so true. You know, kingdoms come, kingdoms go. You know, kings come, kings go. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And there's a great opportunity for God to move powerfully in Venezuela. Please, like never before, pray for Venezuela. It's a key player. It has oil. It has major natural resources. And I think that we're going to see, you know, I just sense there's going to be some upheaval in that. In that country, I don't think this is going to be a smooth transition. Although he's had a successor that he's kind of named there in Maduro, but I just don't see that being as smooth as probably they would have liked. And so, what we want to see is just the kingdom of God spread all over Venezuela and all across Latin America and really around the world. Right. But when people get totally free and they're not oppressed anymore. And they realize that every true and wonderful gift comes from the Father up above. I mean, some of these people that were mourning him, they were calling him Father. They were calling him Father. And it's like, come on now. Come on now. And, but man, when they get free, when you know what? And that oppression now is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to see the kingdom of God just take over and those people of Venezuela. To welcome Jesus Christ as Lord and just see the gospel just spread all over the place. Because that type of government really wants to snuff out. The thing is about snuffing out God and making government God.
Mm-hmm.
And government cannot be God. It's not God, and it is a horrible substitute. It leaves people in captivity and totally dependent upon people who are in power and basically running their lives. I think Hitler was a definite sign that we can look to and say, not a good idea. Also, we shared about the Pope the Pope and the cardinals getting together in the Vatican to pray and elect their new Pope. And we shared about the prophecy, St. Malachi prophecy. I want to encourage you to go to the Torch, VFNTV.com, and go to the Torch and select and put in the search bar, Pope suddenly resigns. Is this the fulfillment of prophecy? You really want to see this. We have a video there, and it's really going to shed some light on who potentially this next Pope can be, mm-hmm. and how he's going to be in power when Rome is totally destroyed. And so there's so many things that are happening in the news, and it's all good, you know, coming together at one time. You really want to be watchful and prayerful.
Amen.
Pat.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the baby that was born with HIV but was actually cured with treatment?
No. What happened? How'd that happen?
Oh, my. Listen, we have a segment. I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this. This is so, so encouraging. I mean, there's so many people that have passed away from AIDS. There are many people today that are living with HIV. And this is so encouraging. I want you to listen up.
Scientists say a baby born with the AIDS virus has been cured after an aggressive treatment of drugs. The child and her HIV-infected mother were treated at Jackson Medical Center in Mississippi. Doctors prescribed three different medications to fight the disease, but then doctors lost track of the mother and child for a whole year. When they finally found them, they discovered the mother had stopped giving her child the medications. They also found that the girl, who is now 2.5, remained healthy without the meds. The early intervention appears to have knocked the virus out of the baby's blood.
We have, perhaps inadvertently, but in fact, cured the child.
If the child remains healthy, it would mark the world's second reported medical cure of HIV.
Wow.
How amazing is that? That's really powerful. And let me tell you, there is a really big population, I know in this country, that have been infected with this virus. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't hear about it as much, and they have centers in places. But when I was in the insurance business some years ago, I had a chance to sit with a client of mine, and we got to talking and about his profession and health questions and all that type of stuff. And I just love that part of what I used to do, and just relating to people and meeting so many wonderful people. But mm-hmm. This client was telling me that he used to work for an organization that helped people that were infected with the HIV virus, and they would go to different places and give tests and draw blood work and mm-hmm. free and all this, you know, all around the community. And he told me about a local high school that they went to, and they did this test. And before they were able to tell the students if they were HIV infected or not, mm-hmm. The school shut it down, said, you can't come back here. You can't do this. I don't know what happened with, you know, permission or right. how that all came about. And he said that they had a portion of students that were actually HIV infected, and they couldn't even tell them. And oh, wow. so, yeah. And so, you know, there are a lot of people right now that are, you know, crying out and praying, and they're taking medications and doing different things. Mm-hmm. But it's a area to definitely pray for and to be there for folks that have this illness. Mm-hmm. People are dying, you yeah. know, and not everyone can afford the medical treatments that, I mean, Magic Johnson is taking. I mean, Magic Johnson is a former NBA basketball player, legend, superstar, mm-hmm. who was diagnosed, I mean, back in the early 90s. Early 90s. And he's, you know, had, I'm sure, all sorts of very expensive treatment, mm-hmm. but that's not available to everybody. And to my knowledge, I haven't heard that he was cured, but it's just amazing and wonderful that his baby has been cured. Right. And we rejoice in that today. And we want to see people with all kinds of illnesses mm-hmm. To be healed. I mean, Jesus, this is the power of God. Power wants to heal people. It's still present today. You know, we want to see people to be healed and cured. of all sicknesses. And just something that's been stirring on my heart when you see so many people that are just hurting today and are battling so many just, like I said, illnesses and sicknesses. And they're just really just taking the life out of them, taking just the life out of them. We can believe for more. We can believe for more healing to come and people to be totally changed by God and by medical science. Let me tell you, you know, it's the supernatural and the natural, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see them both working together. Right. Ultimately, it's always God anyway, right?
Exactly. He's the one that gives us the wisdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which makes me think about Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, the neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
I mean, is that not in just a faith-filled, amazing testimony?
That
I mean,
beautiful.
I love to hear about what God did in his life. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson here on VFN Radio before when he spoke at a prayer breakfast where President Obama was present, and he talked about he didn't believe in political correctness.
Not at
all. He's the person that we would say speaks English. No. And he's been extremely, I mean, he's been on so many news organizations since that one speech. Everyone wants to hear about him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a believer. And grew up, you know, in a single parent home.
Mm-hmm.
His mom couldn't even read, but yeah. She instilled reading in, you know, to him and his brother. And it's just a wonderful, powerful testimony of what God can do. You know, when he graduated high school, really with great grades, he wanted to apply to different colleges. The only problem was that every college that you applied to at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Cost $10 to apply. I mean, now it can charge anywhere from $50 to $100 to apply to colleges. Oh yeah, and so he only had $10. You know, only $10 bill. So he applied to one school, Yale, and he was accepted.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just amazing what God can do. There was a movie made of his life. I believe it's called Gifted Hands, and it's very empowering. I saw it, and I think it'll encourage you. But we just mentioned about President Obama, but I don't know if you guys knew this, but President Obama prayed for and with Billy Graham.
Really?
Reverend Billy Graham. Yes, Reverend Billy Graham has had an amazing ministry in life. I mean, he is now 90 years old. He lives in North Carolina, and he has met with so many presidents. Presidents have sought his counsel, and he has visited the White House on numerous times. I know particularly George Sr., George Bush Sr., really, they became really close friends, and I believe that on the first Gulf War, I believe that Reverend Billy Graham was actually in the White House when that war began.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I believe he was there. But I want you to listen to this. I think this will encourage you. Listen up.
So I flew down, and we took the presidential motorcade up a mountain that is not built to handle a presidential motorcade. And then we just had the most amazing hour with this powerful yet gentle man in Billy Graham. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the truths and the words that Reverend Graham spoke into the president, into this country. And then one of my favorite parts of it was Mr. Graham, towards the end of the meeting, as he often does, started praying for President Obama. When he wrapped up, kind of weren't sure what to do next, and President Obama started praying for Reverend Graham, which was just, you know, just an amazing moment to have the President of the United States, in a spirit of humility, just say, you know, I want to offer a prayer for this man who's prayed for so many. And so sitting there, being right next to that as it was happening, was just an amazing blessing for me, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was Joshua Du Bois. He is the head of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. And you just heard him share an encounter that the president had with Reverend Billy Graham. President Obama was vacationing with his family in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And told him, unscheduled trip, says, I want to go see Billy Graham. I want to see Reverend Billy Graham. And they made arrangements to go visit him at his home. Mm-hmm. And they went. Amazing. And how remarkable is that? When you think about how powerful the call of God is on someone's life and what God is doing, who would have thought? Who would have thought that Reverend Billy Graham would have the ears of all of these presidents? I mean, yeah, right. Jimmy Carter, there's so many of them. And that the president would bring his motorcade to the man of God. Mm. And no telling what they spoke about him. You know, Reverend Billy Graham shared the truth.
I'm sure he did.
And he prayed. And he prayed. And when you pray for the president like that, I really truly believe that you're praying for the nation. You're praying for America. And
exactly.
This is the authority in the land. This is the administration. He represents the president, the country, and he reflects us who voted him. And so very, very powerful to see that in Reverend Billy Graham's last days, he's not rusting out. Let me tell you, Reverend Billy Graham is burning strong. He is a That's torch right. that of great encouragement and a great example of going forth, telling the truth, preaching the good news in the kingdom of God, the gospel, and the influence that he's been able to have all of these years, I think is quite remarkable. And really great for the president to humble himself, you know, and receive prayer and receive wisdom. And who knows what God was stirring in his heart? Who knows what was happening? I mean, you can only imagine all the different things that we know. But you can only imagine the stuff that the president actually knows of what is happening, not only in this country, but in the country, you know, countries around the world. So for him to say, unscheduled, on my vacation, I want to go see Reverend Billy Graham. Very, very good, encouraging, and I'm glad he did it. We'll be right back.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go. Wi-Fi or no-fi? Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you. Find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. .org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. My goodness, I love your jams and your moves, man. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. You
we
got
it
moves,
going
Pat.
On up in here.
Well, you know, guys, I was reading in the Bible, reading God's Word, and I came across Romans 8:35, and I started thinking about God's amazing love. There's a shortage of a whole lot of stuff. But let me tell you, there's never a shortage of the love of God. And can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardships, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us, you, me, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I think God's stuck on you.
Yeah, I think.
I think God's stuck on you. I mean, when you think about the love of God, I mean, I think that's game changer. You know what I mean? And to know that his love is binding. He's saying, "Listen, this is my heart towards you." Mm. And no thing, and you know, no one's going to come in between this. Right?
Yeah.
"For I am convinced. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he says, I love Paul. He says, "We were under great pressure, far beyond even our ability to endure." I think I've come pretty close to that, right? "So that we despaired even of life." This is Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Mm. Just because, right?
Yeah.
You're facing trials, troubles, difficulties, persecutions, famines, nakedness, dangerous sickness, right? Or even the sword. Doesn't mean that God's mad at you.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Paul found out, hey, listen, why did this happen? This happened so that we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And that's something that we should never question. And that's God's love for us. I mean, something, talking about God's love, it's something that must be settled in our hearts. Because with every trial or difficulty, I mean, we can be tempted. Does God love me?
Right.
Does God love me? It's like the businessman we heard about. When his business is going good, it's like, woo, God loves me.
Right, right.
It's going bad. God don't love me. Like, come
on,
man.
God don't love
me
anymore.
God's not, he's not temperamental like that. He's not up and down with you.
Mm-mm.
He loves you. He loves you. And there's so much lack of love today. I mean, the world is void of so much love. And oftentimes, you know, we're tempted to reduce God's love to man's love, to what we see of man. And mm-hmm. God's ways are not like our ways, right? His thoughts are not far above the way we're able to think. And we need to, you know, stop that temptation of boiling God down, right? Mm-hmm. Now, some of the questions people ask, you know, well, if God loved me, why would he do this? And to me, it's amazing how, you know, so much tragedy is attributed to God when something happens to some people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it is these same people that don't give credit for all the blessings in their life. It's like God only gets the credit when all things fall apart.
All right,
like,
exactly.
God didn't do that to you. Mm. I think you did that to yourself.
Yeah, right.
I think God didn't do that to you. And God gets blamed for all of this stuff. And it's like, but yet all the blessings and all the wonderful things that the Lord's given us every single day, every moment of our life, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
The fact that our heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through our body a day, you know what I mean? A day. You know, and the things that we take for granted, ask someone who's having heart surgery today how precious is the heart that God gave us.
Right.
Someone who needs a heart transplant, how precious is a heart? But yeah, we just wax over. Mm-hmm. And I think about Paul and all the hardships that, I'm not Paul, Job, and all the hardships that Job faced. He didn't curse God. He didn't curse God. And as for the believer, I mean, we're going through a baptism of fire. You know, if trials and things like that happen, you know, those we should welcome trials as friends because, one, like Paul says, we can fully rely on God and not ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also the baptisms of fire that we can go through is to help to bring all the impurities and stuff out of our heart and bring to surface. Now, Pat, I know that you don't need any of these baptism of fires. You're sparkling cold, right?
Pure. Dude.
Well, for somebody else, like for me, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Well,
isn't this true? We're joking, right? But isn't this true?
Absolutely.
How important, you know, to have proper perspective. Uh-huh. Because you can really become so insecure in the love of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'll tell you, once you settle that once in your heart for sure, how much God loves you, it's life changing.
Well, it's just like anything else in regards to God and his kingdom. It's just, you have to believe it by faith. I mean, I've said this before. It's just, you just got to settle it in your heart. Say, all right, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. You know, and not be swayed by anytime something bad happens or things don't go your way. God doesn't love me, like you were saying earlier.
Right.
It's just, he loves you no matter what.
Yeah.
Even when you're wallowing in your pile of blood in your sin, he still loved you.
And that's something?
And that, why? Yeah. Where you were just a dirt bag. You know what I'm saying?
Just for me, Pat.
Right.
Right. Think about it.
Yeah.
While you were yet sinners, the word of God tells us Christ died for you.
That's right.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't choose to love some people and not others, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't fast forward your life and then choose to stop loving you at the point that you really messed up. Oh, we saw it. There it is. That's that moment. All right, he's off the love list.
Yep, he's gone.
She is off the love list. And listen, you need to listen to Who Does God Love? Go to VFNTV.com, select the torch, put love in the search on the right-hand corner, and you got to listen to Who Does God Love? And we need this revelation. Mm-hmm. We need this revelation because, in fact, when he fast-forward and saw all of your mess ups and all of your failures and everything that you did that was not pleasing to him, he still chose to love you. Mm-hmm. And that's really the highest form of love. Love is not just the ooey gooey feeling. The highest form of love is a choice. It's a choice. And what makes his love so irresistible is that at times when we feel most unlovable, and possibly everyone has left us and just flat out checked out.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Proverbs that he is a friend. Proverbs 18:24, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His love remains. His love is unshakable. His love is like a fountain that never stops flowing. It's amazing. He is God, and he changes not. He changes not. And so it's important to realize that, you know, he loves us. And hopefully maybe we might talk a little bit more about this in the extra hour. But there's two extremes when we talk about the love of God. Sometimes people get so caught up with the love of God where one extreme says, I don't know if God loves me. And then the other extreme is, They say, well, God loves me. So that must mean that that's a license for me to do anything because he's not going to stop loving me.
All right.
This is true.
All right. He'll God's love you so much that he doesn't mind giving you a spanking every now and then.
So true.
You know what I'm saying?
So true. And that's it. God's love, you have two extremes. You have one extreme, people question God's love all the time. Then you have another extreme where people say, well, God love. I know he loves me. But it doesn't mean, so I can do anything because he loves me. He's like, no, that's a twisting of God's love. You hit the nail right on the head. God loves you enough that he's going to deal with you. And people often kind of get this confused. I mean, it's almost like, you know, like a parent. You love your child so much. You love your child so much. And a good parent, what can a child do that you would ever stop loving them? You're going to love them to the very end. Mm-hmm. But your child, you don't separate yourself from your child. Your child separates himself from you, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And God loves us enough to allow us to walk away.
Sure will.
When you think about the rich young ruler, I mean, he went down the list. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. I've obeyed all these commandments. And Lord says, well, you know, There's you need to give you sell your possessions, give to the poor, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And yet he walked, and so he said, "Oh, this is too much." He said, "I'm out." Yeah. Paraphrase here. And Jesus loved him enough to let him walk away.
Sure did.
He didn't chase him down, right? Because true love allows for freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, God will let you choose him or not to choose him, but it's all going to be based on love.